Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the hour that we live in, it has been orchestrated from the beginning of time by your hand and by your plan. You have called the people that they might rise. And you have given them the word of God by which they might be grown into maturity and come to the full and the stature of that which they need to be in order to work the work of God in this dark and dangerous time. And Father, we are gathered here today by the virtue of your summons. We have come because you have summoned us to be here. And there is a word that you want to minister to each and every one of us, that we might be encouraged, that we might be encouraged to press on, that we might come to a place and a realization that though we have the Spirit of God and though we have the Word of God, there is yet more repentance and more position of repentance that is being required of us, a greater dependence upon you, and a greater or a lesser dependence upon ourselves. So, Father, we are coming by virtue of your grace, by virtue of your mercy, to come to this place this evening. You have seen the ministration of the Word today, the moving of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that you might have your way this evening. That you might be exalted in this place. Amen. That you might be exalted within our minds. That you might have the place of preeminence in our emotion. There is much that needs to be done for each and every one of us here. Ministry into our soul, ministry to our minds, ministry to our emotions, deliverance from this, deliverance from that, healing in this, healing in that. My God, we are coming by virtue of your desire to minister to those needs. So, Father, we submit ourselves to you this evening. We ask that you have preeminence in every thought, in every action, in every word. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was sitting in a meeting and I was sitting in a meeting in 2009. And I was sitting in the back. I don't usually sit in the back. And for some reason, I was sitting in the back in this particular meeting. And there was a young man. I say young man, he was younger than me. That was up at the front ministering. And you know, he had all the right terminology. As a younger man, he was tutored by the very best in the word of the kingdom. And he was very charismatic, very well educated, and seemingly had all of the accoutrements that were necessary to make him very credible in the aspect of what it was that he was sharing from the pulpit. And as he was sharing, there was something terribly wrong in the spirit, and I sensed it. And I just began to pray. And as he was going through all the accolades of sonship, being a part of the 144,000, being a part of that first fruit company, being a part of the overcomers, I noticed that in his sharing, and he must have ministered for an hour and a half, I don't know how long, I noticed Not one time did he talk about death to self. Not one time did he talk about tribulation. He talked about tribulation in the aspect of how they had confronted sickness and different scenarios of trouble, and how they had prayed and deliverance came and God was exalted. But nothing on the personal level. Nothing that dealt with the aspect of the fact of lifestyle for us as an individual. And I really can't, you know, what I'm saying to you doesn't sound quite so bad, does it? Well, then you're not very sensitive. But I really can't describe to you the feeling that I was having inside. And one of incredulous surprise, because many in the congregation, many experienced, many what I would consider mature individuals, mature Christians, were just up there and going for it. Yes, amen, praise the Lord, preach it, brother, preach it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And as I was, and I'm inquiring, I'm saying, God, what's going on? What's going on? Am I out of source with it all, that I'm not hearing what really being said? Is there something wrong with my hearing? Is there something wrong with my thought pattern? And the Lord did not answer that inquiry directly. I don't know if any of you get direct answers from the Lord, but it isn't my forte with Him very often. He just said to me, "My people do not know me." Hallelujah. Now, don't get the impression that because He told me that I knew Him more than the rest of those people. I'm not saying that. Hallelujah. But what I saw frightened me. Hello? Yeah. Hallelujah. And it brought to my mind at that point in time, or in some time later, the scripture where Paul says, "I am continually bringing my body." Huh? Now this is Paul. And he's writing from a prison, I believe. He says, "I continually." And I looked the word continually up. You know what it means? Huh? Continually.
Yeah, right. No magic word.
It means I'm doing it. I did it yesterday. I'm doing it today. I did it in the morning. I did it in the afternoon. I'm working on it this evening. And I am going to continue it tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. I'm not going to start and finish and not finish. Hallelujah. And there's a testimony Paul had by his exhortation to us as to what it was he had achieved. When he come down to the end of the day, he says, "I have what? Finished." Can you say that with confidence? Huh? I have finished what has been given to me to do. Can you imagine? And he wasn't bragging. He was simply stating a fact. He says, "I know." Hey, if God told you you were going to die, how would you handle it? God told the man. He could trust the man with the fact of his own death.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Hallelujah. We would be like Hezekiah. Well, maybe you wouldn't. Huh? You know, one time, I remember very, very distinctly, I had, as a young man, I had this experience. We had this word, we had this message, we were gung-ho. Gung-ho, do you hear me? Where's preaching sonship, teaching sonship, holding meetings in our house? Huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My goodness. Not afraid to die, right? Going to go out in a blaze of glory, right? Hello? Huh? Oh yes, we had this thought, we had this idea that we were impenetrable, that nothing could harm us. We'd be like Superman. You shoot off, bullets would bounce off of us. Hallelujah. Well, that's good, sitting in your couch in your living room. Hallelujah. Or your nice comfy car. Hello. Hallelujah. And I had been over a brother's house, and I had just come back to our house, and I was sitting in my pickup. Hello. And all of a sudden, I got this terrible pain. This terrible pain. And it felt like it was right here. Pain. You know, I'm a young man, right? Healthy. Hello. Preaching the word of God. Terrible pain. Terrible pain. And it goes up, and then it goes down my arm. And I'm thinking, my arm. Pain in my arm. I'm having a heart attack. And my breath begins to shorten. And I'm starting to gasp, and I'm thinking, I better get out of this picture and get into the house before I drop dead. Hallelujah. And I cannot describe you the fear that came over me. It made me to know I didn't really believe what I was preaching. Oh yeah, here I am, Lord. I'm ready to die for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm in the house, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm sitting there, God, I can't die now. God, I can't die now. God, I don't want to die now. And then I started giving him all the reasons why I couldn't die. Hallelujah. Well, thank God it wasn't a heart attack. It was just a collapsed lung. Hallelujah. And, you know, that was easily fixed. They just pumped me up and put a patch on it. Hallelujah. We think that we're ready. We think that we're ready. We think that we're ready. Hallelujah. You're not supposed to think that you're ready. You're supposed to know that you're ready. You're supposed to know that you're ready. Hallelujah. So, in 2009, sitting back there in that meeting, It scared me. And the Lord commissioned us at that time. We were involved in business. We were up to our neck in responsibilities, up to our eyeballs in responsibilities. We had the farm, we had the store, we had all of the debt that goes with it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not by virtue of our own desire, but by virtue of the fact that we believed that we were doing what the Lord had asked us to do, and we were doing it with all of our might. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it scared me so bad that I had to go home, and I had to be, my wife and I had to sit down and begin to discuss it and talk about it and pray about it. Because I knew that God had given me a word to run. Hello? Do you hear me? Run with a particular message. Run with a particular thought. And that thought was, my people do not know me. Hallelujah. And so, like madmen, my wife and I crisscrossed back and forth in Africa, out of Africa, into Europe, out of Europe, back into Africa, back into the States, back into back into Europe, back into the States, out there into Africa again, back and forth across Africa, down to South Africa, up to North Africa, over to the West of Africa, East of Africa. I didn't know how many places we had been in Africa until I was filling out a form for that global entry. And they ran out of space for me to put the countries that I've been in. Hallelujah. And what what God was seeing in all of those things. You know, tabernacle. It was tabernacle, 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 tabernacle. And I got to the point of thinking, how many times can I teach or preach or move or explain or show tabernacle? He says, until I tell you it's enough. Huh? Because tabernacle speaks everything about relationship. Tabernacle speaks everything about death to self, death to this man, death to his desires, death to his ambitions, death to his position or his place of even his service to the Lord and his position of relationship. Death in everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, and the theme of the last several meetings that I have been in is as one of the brothers who was up here today was saying, there's a thread, there's a theme. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. How many times do we have to do it until we change something in our lifestyle? Change something. Change something. Huh? Hallelujah. I don't know what you have to change. I don't know what your lifestyle is. But if your lifestyle isn't making God alone God, do you seek Him in the morning? As to the will of God, do you seek Him about your job? Do you seek Him about your finances? Do you seek Him about your relationship? Do you seek Him about your children or whatever the case may be? Do you seek Him? I say seek Him. I press, 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 press. Huh? Hallelujah, Kaaba. Did you hear me? Not just a one day fast, or you fast and your fasting is drinking anything you can through a straw. Oh yes, oh yes, we think that's fasting. Huh? So we get everything and grind everything up.
Huh?
Oh, God forbid, God save us. You could suck whole vegetables up in those things. I don't know if we really know what seeking God is. I don't know that we really know. I don't know that we are willing to say, now believe me, brethren, you need a word. And I'm hoping what I'm sharing with you will motivate you to get a word. Motivate you. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh boy. My dependence, your dependence, is not on the system or the position or the place or the locality that I'm living in, but at the locality and the system and the logistics of my situation govern my response to God. There is something wrong with my relationship. Something wrong with it. Now, what I'm talking to you about is getting oil. Somebody brought up the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. And the whole idea of that parable is the amount of oil that you have or you don't have. Right? So how do we get oil? What is oil? Is it that stuff that comes out of the olive? Huh? And into a bottle and you go to the store and buy it? What is oil? What is oil? What is the practical application of that thought, oil? What is that practical application? It's very simple. It's not complicated. It's very simple. Believe you me, it's simple. Huh? It's the reality I have of God in any given situation. And you know, the more you want God and the incremental aspect of how God gives it to you. Hello? Hallelujah. It may be just driving down the road out in the country and you run out of gas. Hello? Or your car breaks down. And is there a reality in it? You know, one time we were in Ethiopia and we got invited by this Jewish rabbi to come over to the synagogue and to share the gospel. God, you know, I am so glad I was had the knowledge of the tabernacle. It was a blessing in that meeting. Hello? We had to get a taxi, you know, to go there. And let me tell you something. The part of town we wound up in is not a good part of town. It was in the slum area. Hallelujah. And I can't even describe it. And we were going to be there for several hours, and the taxi man was supposed to wait for us. And I have no idea where we're at. And the people I'm with, they have no idea where they're at. Except that they don't want to be out there with us at that time of night. Huh? Hallelujah. So we walk out of the meeting and the taxi's gone. What are you going to do? I'm sitting here. What do I do with my wallet? My passport. Where is it? Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. And you know something? We glow in the dark. Did you know that? My wife and I, we glow in the dark. We don't blend. We glow in the dark. We stand out like a sore thumb. And everybody's looking at us. Huh? And your mind is turning. Well, they're thinking, what's that guy thinking over there? You know, what's that guy thinking? And of course, the people we are with, they're very nervous. Well, thank God, God delivered us out of that situation. And we got back all right. But it drives home. And I have to go back and I have to begin to examine my response in the midst of that. You understand what I'm saying? How great was my reality of God? Well, at one point it wasn't very much. I was looking around for something I could pick up so if somebody come after me, I could hit them with it. Of course, you probably wouldn't have done that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we're talking about buying oil and the practicality of it. There's a practicality. The practicality of oil is the position or the manifestation of God that I have in me in that given situation. Now, how many of you have ever said in any situation, God, where are you? Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. God, where are you? Well, God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So where would he go? Huh? Why did you say that? Because you did not have the reality of God that he would never forsake you. Your relationship, my relationship was short. Huh? It was short. And the fact of the matter is, God makes these little bitty, teeny bitty situations and experience to build you and to strengthen you for a little bit tougher situation and a little bit of tougher situation and a little bit of tougher situation. So when it comes down to at the end of the day and a guy's pointing his gun right in the middle of your face and you don't go break down in tears and start begging for your life. Huh? Hallelujah. I don't know. I don't know if I had that situation, what I do. I hope I'm buying the oil that I need not to deny Christ. And that's something else. We can all point a finger at Peter because he's written in the book. But how many times have I denied Christ? Huh? How many times have I denied him in my finances? How many times have I denied him in my body, my physical body? How many times have I denied him in the aspect of my business and the things that I'm involved with relations? How many times have I denied him in the aspect of my children, my grandchildren? How many times? Hello? I see him going this way. I see him going that way. And I'm saying, oh God, where are you? Hallelujah. I don't know how many years ago it was. God told me, he told me, he says, you do what I want you to do, I will do for your children what you cannot do. And in many different situations, things started sliding into hell from that point on. Hello. Hallelujah. What am I supposed to do? Well, God would not let me do anything in the practical. God would not let me do anything in the natural. But I had to believe God that God was in the midst of that situation doing what He needed to do, regardless of whether it looked like it or not. I had to believe God. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes, if I did not believe God and started scurrying around doing this and doing that and doing this. Hallelujah. It would be nothing but to my shame, because it would say, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very often somebody would come to say, well, how do you get faith? I don't have faith. How do you have faith? The Bible says, faith cometh what? By hearing? In hearing by the word of God. This was really brought home to me by Brother Goover's testimony of falling off the cliff. And the destruction of the ligaments or whatever those things are in your leg that give you the power to walk. I don't know what they work on. I don't know what they are, but I know that they weren't working. They were broke. And yet he walked 15 miles or so, 10 miles. I don't know how far it was. Even one step would have been a major advantage. Why? Because he believed in the reality of the word. Not because he was, you know, any of us could do that if we believed it. And you know why that God allowed the man to come and to bring these thoughts and these actions and these experiences to us? Because he wanted to encourage us to rise up to a different and a higher level. Not that we would be like Henry Groover, but that we believe in the reality of God that Groover had achieved, had run, come to. Hello? Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's nice listening to the stories, and I can say, well, I wish I was like that. Do you really want to be like that? Huh? Do you really? How, if he had not fallen off the cliff, he would never have the experience of having to walk with the things in his leg that made it impossible for him to walk. Huh? Hallelujah. 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 Do I have the reality of God to overcome a headache? Or do I put my trust in the aspirin or the ibuprofen or whatever it is that you take? Buffarin. It used to be aspirin in my day. I don't know what it was. Huh? Do I have enough faith to overcome a headache? Do I have enough of reality of God to overcome my back hurts, my joints hurt, my this hurts, that hurts? What do I have enough of the reality of it? Now, brethren, I don't tell anybody not to go to doctors. Go to doctors if you have to go to doctors. But there's a higher position that comes from a relationship. It comes from a relationship. And I'm not saying you don't have a relationship because you have to go to a doctor. I'm saying we have a position of authority in relationship with God. And sometimes we are intended to suffer and to walk it out and to come through it on the other side. Not necessarily be delivered from it, but in a position of reality that cannot be shaken. That cannot be shaken. Cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a position, a place, a place of relationship, a place of intimate, personal commitment to God. You alone are God. I have to come to the conclusion I have no hope outside of God. Hallelujah. And if I want to be a part of that first company, I have to have that reality. And I have to be willing to suffer for the sake of it. Hello? Hello? Are you there? I have to be willing to suffer. Not only do I have to be willing, I have to want to be able to suffer for it. There was a sister in Africa, in Nigeria. And she had to work out in the bush, and you know, they did all sorts of things. The devil did all sorts of things to try to destroy the work. They even sent some young men into the work that poisoned her. Huh? And they got converted when the poison didn't work. Well, she wrote me a letter one day and she says, you know, I want you to pray for me. I'm in trouble. He says, I'm not being tribulated. She wanted me to pray that she would be tribulated. Huh? When was the last time you asked somebody to pray for you to be tribulated? Huh? Oh, we get many requests to pray to get out of tribulation. But when was the last time you had somebody pray for you to be in tribulation? Huh? Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what. You don't believe in tribulation? Rip out Romans. Take every page of Romans out of your book. Take it out of your book. Because you cannot help but believe in tribulation if you got Romans in your book. Huh? It says that if we want to be made conformable to His image, what do we have to do? We have to be made conformable to what?
Suffering.
To His suffering. What does His suffering do? What did it do? Where did He wind up? On the cross. But what was the resume he had to fill out before he got to the cross? Huh? Hallelujah. He had to be examined all night long. Yeah. Looking for spot and wrinkle. Hallelujah. That's what they were doing. You know, it was the law. They had to examine the lamb. They had to go through it with a minute comb. The only way they could come to a conclusion was the lie about the man. Hello? It took a Roman to pronounce his cleanliness. Thank you. It took a Roman. It took a Roman. It took a man called Pilate. Hello? What did he say? I find no fault in this man. It took a Roman. Hallelujah. 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 Who abdicated his position of authority and allowed the Jews to usurp it. But on the pronunciation of what he pronounced, they crucified him. And he became the acceptable sacrifice. Loose! And on top of that, he had every right to condemn them. He had every right by which he might ask God for recompense. But it was not in his mind because it was not in his soul. You hear me? It was not in his soul. He said, Father, forgive them. And you know the high priest was right there? Huh? He was right there. Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. For they know not what they do. And one of the last acts he did was to forgive a man that was next to him. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Loose! Hallelujah. It's a position of personal relation. Brother, we have to change our habitual patterns of living. If you want to be ready for what's coming to this country, you're reading it as a foreign news. It's coming to this country. It's coming to this country. Coming to this country. It's already here. We're seeing little bits and pieces of it. But what we saw in Paris was just the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. Hallelujah. God told me in 2012, I was sitting in my kitchen, in my kitchen in Muhammad. He said, this nation, this U.S. nation, this place called the United States of America is dead. Hello? I'm not telling you not to vote. I'm not telling you not to be patriotic. I'm not telling you not to pay your taxes. I'm telling you to wake up and smell the roses. Hallelujah. Because in God's mind, it is dead. It's a finished deal. It's done. It's finished. And you know, I have friends in Africa. They want to come to the States. I says, you go to the States, you go with a word. You go with a word from God. Huh? You go with a word from God. Not on the basis of your need. Not on the basis of your education. Not on the basis of a better chance of living. You got to go on the basis of a word of God. Hallelujah. And every event that has happened since August 2012 is another nail in the coffin. Hallelujah. It's another nail in the coffin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We God say, buy oil. You know, if God was worth no time to buy oil, God wouldn't tell us to be buying oil. Hallelujah. And buying oil is a position of personal, consecrated, dedicated position of worship and love of God and the wanting to know Him. You have to ask God. Moses asked God, I want to see you face to face. You know what Moses was actually saying? He says, I want to see you in a greater dimension. I want to know the reality of what it is you are. I want to know the reality and the context, the substance of the character that we call Jehovah. Ha! Hallelujah. That's what the man was saying. Hallelujah. But Moses did not have the privilege. Moses was not yet in the position or the place by which he could view God, see the reality of Him, glimpse into the depths of the riches of God, and see the mystery being unfolded, although he had an idea or an inkling of it. Hello? Hallelujah. Through the aspects of the law and the things that were given to him by God, the instructions of righteousness, of sanctification and justification. He had that principle. He had that knowledge. But he has not yet changed in the context of his humanity, that which he could see God. We don't have that excuse. We don't have that excuse. You are born for one purpose. So that you might be in the presence of God and see Him face to face. Hallelujah. And there was something very peculiar about Moses in his relationship to God. He says, I don't speak to Moses like I speak to other men, other human beings. I don't speak to him in similitudes and dreams of that, but I speak to him as what? Mouth to mouth. Hello? And yet the man was not in a position or a place by which he could see God and live. But that did not stop him from desiring to know God. He wanted to know God in a greater way, in a greater dimension. So there was a man that came on the scene at a later point in time named Abraham. Or it was before him, maybe. I don't remember the chronological event of it. It was that before. Abraham. Abraham reached a pinnacle with God that I don't know that any human being outside of Jesus Christ has been able to attain, except for maybe Stephen in the flesh. Huh? Stephen. Huh? At least I don't know of any other individual. Because Stephen saw the open heaven. And what? Jesus standing or sitting? He was standing at the right hand of God. Hello? How did he know he was Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it took a stoning to get him to that point, to get him to that place. You want to see Jesus? Are you willing to be stoned? Huh? Are you willing? Come on, it would be rather difficult, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you remember the story in one of the Gospels where there was a judgment going on and these devout religious people were standing before the Lord and they were expounding on all of their accolades of how they had worked in His kingdom? Hello? What'd they say? We have prophesied in your name. We have cast out demons in your name. Huh?
Many works.
We have healed in your name. Oh, well, my beloved children, you're doing such a good job. Enter in. Enter into your rest. No. That's not the way the scripture goes. Hello? He says, depart from me, ye. Oh, what? 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 Church people? Huh? Church people? They might have spoken tongues. They might have professed the blood of Jesus Christ. They might have professed, they were certainly professing what they were doing under the auspices of that Holy Spirit, weren't they? He says, in your name. Didn't they say in your name? Huh? In your name. We did this and this and this and this. He says, depart from me. You're not doing more acts of righteousness. You're doing acts of wickedness, iniquity. You know, iniquity is a root of wickedness. Did you hear me? Iniquity and wickedness. Wickedness is spawned by iniquity. And iniquity is something that is embedded in the heart by virtue of the nature that you were born with. You remember the song we say? High above every idol, the biggest idol that we have to contend with. Well, maybe not you, maybe just me. The biggest idol I have to contend with is my own self. Huh? Oh, yes. Tell me, I don't know anybody here who doesn't like to have their space. Huh? Or have you heard the expression, get out of my face? Have you ever heard that expression? Have you ever used it? Or have you? Maybe you put it in a more better way. You have to give me some room to breathe. You ever hear it? You ever use it? Yes. What makes you think you needed room to breathe? What was having that position of wanting that position of preeminence? What was it that was pushing you to make that statement? Huh? It was a spirit of self-preservation. We have individual self-preservation. We have collective self-preservation. You hear me? Oh, yes. I'm a man, and there's certain spirits that come with that mentality, thinking, I'm a man, and in that place, and you are a woman, and there's certain spirits and thinking that comes with that place. You crowd that man-woman thing, and you've got fire, you got sparks. Iron does what? Sharpeneth iron. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Some of us are still having to deal with the equality issue. And if you come to the United States, you spend any time here, every human being is created equal. We all have certain inalienable rights. Yes, we do, don't we? We're Americans. Or at least I'm living in an American country under the independent spirit. What do we call it? The Declaration of... Declaration of Independence. Judy, do you know anything about independence? Yeah. I'm a free agent. I am a free agent. I have pride in who I am. Oh, yes. I'm not going to show it. It's a humble pride. I'm going to dress it up in a nice suit and make it look clean, you know, clean shaven and all that sort of stuff. Huh? Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. You know, brethren, There are. There are spirits that come with a certain. There are spirits that come with a certain decor. Is that the right word? Huh? Decor. Huh?
Decorum.
Well, not only, it's how we decorate ourselves. Same thing? All right, we come with a certain decorum. You know, in the environment that I grew up in, it wasn't a cowboy environment, but that was the spirit that I was interested in. Huh? Oh, yes. That was the spirit I was interested in. And I tell you what, I had to wear the cowboy hat. Huh? I had to wear the cowboy boots. I had to wear the Levi's. I had to wear the button-down shirts. Hello? Hallelujah. I had to have a horse. I bought it for my children. Oh, yes. I bought it for my children. I bought a big one and I bought a small one. The small one was for my children. The big one was for me, so I could ride with them. And when I wanted to buy a saddle, I couldn't just buy any saddle. I had to go out and get this elaborately carved and decorated cowboy saddle. Huh? Yes, it has silver on it. Not the gaudy stuff, but it has silver. And you know what? It had my name on the back of it. Do you remember that? She was there. She can testify. Huh? Hallelujah. I had to walk like a cowboy. Huh? I had to talk like a cowboy. Brethren, I had to even spit like a cowboy.
Did you have a six gun?
Huh? I had two of them. And there were revolvers. They weren't the little automatics. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. They're, spirits come with a decorum. They come with a decoration. And they want to conform you and I to that aspect of what it is that it is wanting to manifest through you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is talking about you and I in the aspect of buying oil, buying that substance of reality, that thing that is by virtue the nature of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, God did not just take all that stuff away. You understand? I had to get rid of it. I had to jettison it as much as I, when I sold my horse, oh my God, I thought I was going to die. And I got rid of my boots. I got rid of my shirts. I got rid of my big buckle and belt. Huh? Hallelujah. But I hung on to that saddle. And I had that saddle sitting up in a special place. Every now and then I'd go out there and brush it off and polish it up and make sure the leather wasn't cracking. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to sell it. And so I put a reasonable value on it because it was an expensive saddle, right? Hallelujah. Week in, week out. Week in, week out. Nobody would buy it. And every other week I was dropping the price, dropping the price, dropping the price, dropping the price, dropping the price. Until I almost had to give the thing away. Why? God was reaching down in here. He was reaching down, reaching down, reaching down, reaching down, reaching down, 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 down. Pulling this this decorum spirit of cowboyness. Huh? Pulling it out by the roots. Loose! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is your decorum? What spirit are you dealing with? You young ladies, some of you are dealing with a glamorized aspect of femininity. It's a Hollywood thing. You may not think it, you may not even have that aspiration. But the way you dress and the things that you do and the aspect of how it is that you promote and relate to other people. Hello? Hallelujah. 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 And you know, the boys, they got to be macho. The boys, they got to be men. They got to be macho people, you know. Hallelujah. And you see some of them walking, and they're not walking. They're really swaggering. You know, I'm just different than other people. Somebody can just be walking down the road and I see him swaggering. Hallelujah. It's spirits.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. We need to have a, and you know, I can't tell you something and make you change. If you change because I'm making you change, you're not really changing. You're just conforming to my specification. You have to change because you know that you need to change.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my, I'm going to tell on Brother Tajoki. I don't think he would mind because he was kind of giving it as an example with a group of us. He was coming to the United States, and if I had the story correctly, the Lord told him to dress a certain way. Told him to put on a suit. But Brother Tajoki decided he wanted to go as an African. He said, there's nothing wrong with it. I got my passport. I'm professor. I'm doctor. I'm going to go as an African. So he had one of those really bright, long-tailed shirts, you know. And I don't know, maybe even had sandals on. I don't know. But when he came through customs, they must have picked it up. Yeah, that's what they did. You go over there. And they grilled him and grilled him and grilled him. They finally let him go. And he said to me, if I had only worn the suit. Hallelujah. I can guarantee you he's probably a little more sensitive. At least when he comes into the United States in that respect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are behavior patterns that are programmed into us by reason of spirits. The only way that we can come to recognize these entities that are working in our lives is by virtue of a close relationship with God. The closer to God I get, the more of me that is revealed that is not God.
Amen.
Hello? Without that position of relationship, I can be a half-breed. I'm a hybrid. I'm part human and I'm part God.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Hallelujah. Oh boy. Hallelujah. I have to have a closer, better, more consecrated, more dedicated, more intense relationship with a living God. I need to have that position. I need to be motivated. I need to be instigating that position, that place. I can't push you in there, and you can't push me in there. The more you push me, the more I resist. I shouldn't be resist, but I resist. And then it becomes a conflict of wills. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that you can't tell me that I need to change, that I need a closer relationship with God. That doesn't mean that. But brethren, don't we understand? It is my position, my place, my responsibility to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. You can't do it for me. I can't do it for you. I can intercede. I can pray, which gets me closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to God. The more I intercede, the closer I get to God. And the more I intercede for you, the more He works on me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. I remember one time we were up in Canada at Brother Warnock's. And there was a series of meetings going on. Oh my God. Oh my God. There was a woman who was cerebral palsy or I don't know. It's muscular dystrophy. And she was at very, very advanced stages of it. Really couldn't communicate. Really couldn't handle herself by herself. Her husband, who was originally her nurse, hallelujah, married her so he could take care of her. And in the middle of the meeting, he stopped. And he points at her. And he says, you know, God is very faithful. Always to show us, bring something into our midst to show us how little we know Him. He says, how many of you here would be willing to take her place? And it's a biblical principle, by the way. It's a biblical principle. Did you know that? Do you know that you have the ability to be saved because someone took your place? Do you know that the sicknesses were put on Him? Every infirmity was put on Him. Oh, do you think that? Do you think that's rhetoric? Do you think that's theological conjecture? Or do you think He actually had to deal with the physical aspect of that ailment? I believe it. I believe the physical aspect. He overcame it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He overcame it. And if we were really understood, when we pray for people, how do you pray? How do you pray? God, heal them. God bring deliverance. You know, one time I prayed for a man to be delivered and I had to fight the devil all night. Hello? All night. All night. The man got deliverance at that moment. That night I had to fight the devil. I fought the devil all night. Hello? Hallelujah. God gave me grace, but it taught me a lesson. Hallelujah. You know, there's sometimes people tell me the lake, they call me up. You know, come here. And then they want me to lay hands on them. No, I'm not going to lay hands on them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sorry? I had to fight that devil that was on that person. Because I kicked him out of his home. He wanted another home. And I had to overcome him. Or I would have been in the same place in the same mess that man was in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly. Hallelujah. You know, we were in a meeting one time and there was a man that laid hands on another man and another person and began to pray for them over an illness. I saw the illness jump off of that person onto the man. We had to take the man outside and pray for him and deliver him from that spirit. Because the woman, the person was healed. She was healed. Hallelujah. Are you willing to be in that position? You're wanting to be deliverers of the world. Aren't you? Isn't that what it's all about? Saviors. Huh? Isn't that what the word says? That we are to be saviors. Huh? What is the two witness company? And you guys are all looking at me strange. Do I got the right people here? Do I got the right crowd? I hope so. That's a good word. We're saved by hope. Didn't it say we are saviors?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Huh? Okay, see? You're to be saviors. You're to be saviors. Are you willing to take the transgression and the sin and the disease and the things that you're going to be confronting onto yourself and to put them under your foot as it is prophesied by God in the New, on the Old Testament? Huh? He says, yes. He says, your seed, the woman's seed. Hello? That means the product of the church. The man-child church is talking about those generations that came down out of Eve. It's talking at the end of the time when that man-child church comes out of the church. Out of the church. Hello?
Yes.
Out of the woman church to stand up and confront this evil, this malignant darkness. My goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you need to get his tape, the tape of what he was talking about, the invasion. Because, you know, before I even talked to him about it, the Lord said, this is an invasion. He told me it's an invasion.
Showed Shadoki too.
Said it is an invasion. And you know, it wasn't long after that the news started calling it an invasion.
Yeah, finally.
Hallelujah. And you know, back in 2012, there was a word of God that came concerning the Arab Spring. When it started in Tunisia, little old country of no value, no worth, just a little tiny speck of ground. It spread from there up into the northern part and then across into Libya and began to infect. And it's now going across all of Africa almost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was not a, and when it happened, there was a word of God that came in prayer over the situation, and God said, this is a tsunami. Hello? And he said the word specifically, this is a tsunami. Hallelujah. You know, you look at Japan and what happened with the tsunami. Hello? The destruction of it that they are still dealing with today. Hello? It says it's a tsunami. It's going to sweep across all of Africa, all of the northern part of Africa. It's going to jump over in... This was in 2012, brethren. What were you doing in 2012? It jumped out of Africa and it says it's going to go from Africa. It's going to go into Europe. Huh? This was before any of that started happening. It's going to jump into Europe and then it's going to go and jump into United States. Oh my God. Do you see the pictures of those people coming in? It's incredible. It's incredulous. Huh? There was one new shot, a road, a six-lane highway. Almost six-lane, maybe four-lane highway. Side to side. You couldn't see the end of it this way, and you couldn't see the end of it that way. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea of the economic effect that it will have in that aspect? Do you know what Gaddafi said before he died?
Yeah.
Huh? He prophesied. The devil was bragging. You know what he said? He says, in 10 years, Europe will be a Muslim, the EU countries, the European countries will be a Muslim caliphate. That's what he said. And he says, we will not have had to fire one shot. You know, they really should have listened to him. But you know, the devil always wants blood. The devil cannot do something without blood. He needs blood. Yes. Needs blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And if you don't think we're not going to be affected by this, you are mistaken. Huh? Well, one thing I think it might happen. Well, maybe it's not. The plane tickets might get cheaper.
What a bargain.
Huh?
What a bargain.
Well, if it makes it cheaper for us to travel, that's fine with me. But do I have the faith to get on the plane? Do I have a word of God to get on the plane?
Yes, right. Amen.
Who wants to go to Africa with me? Well, we got a few.
Well, Mary got the word. Mary got the word this morning. Africa.
That's great. God bless you. Godspeed. Hallelujah. Brethren, we need to understand. We don't have a whole lot of time left. We don't have a whole lot of time left. And there is a lot that we have to do concerning our position, place, and relationships and responsibility. And we need to be seeking God. Well, how do I extract ourselves from this situation? How do I orchestrate my affairs by which I can be made available to do what it is God wants me to do? You know, in 2009... when the Lord spoke to us, me not being doing what I'm doing was doing was an impossibility. Financially, physically, the responsibility we had as far as business is concerned was a responsibility. But when Nancy and I made up our minds that it was the Word of God and we begin to move, we begin to see God move. And God has been moving ever since that time. He got us out of debt. And brethren, let me tell you, it was no trivial thing. I was buried up to my eyeballs in debt due to business, things that we were doing. And we were doing it on the basis of what God told us to do. Hello? I thank God for my training. You understand me? When I was a young man and we would go someplace, it wasn't how much money is it going to take? Do we have the money to do it? We went because we believed God told us to go. Amen. Hello? And I had one thing to my credit. My credit card. Huh? Hallelujah. Come on, brethren. Yes. Hello? You know, people, I don't know what they thought in Africa. I guess they thought we were made out of money. I don't know. Hallelujah. Because we weren't telling people, we weren't broadcasting what it was, we were just showing up. Hello? Hallelujah. And the only thing I had was a credit card, and I used it, and I used it, and I used it, and I used it, and I used it. And you know what? They accommodated me. And the more I'd spend, the higher my credit rating went. And my credit limit just kept climbing to the stars. I said, oh God, that's a blessing. Here they go. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let's go there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, one day God just cleared it all off the table. He didn't just take care of it one time. I had to make payments, you understand? Payments. Pay here, pay there, pay there, pay there, pay there, pay that. Hello? I'd still make a living. Hello? I'd work a little bit to make a little money to pay my credit, pay my this, pay that, make a little mess to keep my family, get on a plane and go. Because God said, go. Hello? I have to have a certain mentality. Not on the basis of because I want to, but because I have a word and there's a burden that God has put on me to move in that direction. And brethren, there's a burden that God is putting on us in this hour to save the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God for His mercy and His grace to this man, because one day He just cleared it all off the table. Hallelujah. And I can only testify to my experience. I'm not trying to brag or put myself up in a position or a place. I can only tell you what God has done for me on the basis of my desire to do what God is wanting me to do for Him. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've made up my mind. How does it go? Huh? I've made up my mind to go on. I've made up my mind.
I've made up my mind to go on.
Oh boy.
If I perish, I perish. I am going to see my.
We got to get it up in a little higher place.
If I perish, I perish, for I am going to see my King.
All right, let's do it right.
Through our trials, tribulations, persecution, troubles and all.
All right, stop right there. Stop right there. Just stop right there. Do you mean it? No, come on. Do you really, really mean it? You got to think about it, right?
No, it has to be.
It can be no other way. It can be no other way. No other way. No other way. There's another one that I heard in Africa. I don't know that anybody here knows it. Maybe the Johnsons know it. We sang it at one of the conferences in Port Harcourt. It's Goodbye World. I can no longer stay with you. Huh? Do you know it?
Goodbye World, I can no longer be with you. Goodbye missions of sin.
Pleasures of sin.
I stay no longer with you.
I've made up my
mind
to go God's way. The
rest of my life.
The rest of my life. Huh? Doesn't that sound like a good theme song? Huh? Does anybody? Do we know the music to it? I doubt it. We ought to learn it. I don't know how many times. I've made up my mind. No. Goodbye, world. I can no longer stay with you.